Let's make our confession of faith together. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Tonight, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came. In Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Amen and amen. Well, I'm sharing tonight part two. It's on the screen over here. Part two of requirements to know God's will for your life. That is so important that you and I know and fulfill God's will for our life. Really, truly, in all my years of ministry, that's been the number one question asked more than any other question. Pastor, how do you know you're in God's will? How do you know for sure that it's God's will? Well, what I want to do is I want to give you some signals. We started last Wednesday night. We're going to review and then pick up some signals, kind of like at the stoplight. You know, stoplight, some people called it, Zig Ziglar said, don't call it a stoplight, call it a go light. He said stop was negative, go light. So whether you call it a stoplight or a go light, a signal, okay? And I want to show you some signals that if it's green in your life, that's a go light. You go to the next step. You go to the next signal. And once you go through all these signals tonight, you are in God's perfect will. So I hope you have your Bible. We're going to get right into it tonight. Requirements to know God's will for your life. Hebrews 10, verse 7, Jesus is talking. He's in heaven. And he said, behold, here I am coming to do your will. Jesus left heaven, came to earth. His priority and purpose was to fulfill God's will. The will, O God, to fulfill what is written of me in the volume of the book. The book is a reference to the Bible. Again, notice Jesus said he left heaven, he came to earth to do one thing, to find and fulfill God's will and God's plan. What do we learn from that? That should be our priority in life as well, to know and fulfill God's will for their life. I'm going to move right on. You can look. I'm going to skip over some of these verses. You can go back over, and last Wednesday night's service is on our podcast. You can review or you can watch it if you weren't with us. But bottom line, priority, to know and to fulfill God's will for your life. Purpose. God has a purpose for our life. We are to discover it. We don't determine it. We don't design it. But it is our responsibility to discover it, to find out and walk out and fulfill God's will for our life. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, I'm just reviewing quickly, says there's a purpose for everything on the earth. God has a purpose for your life and my life. Ephesians 1, 11 and 1, 12. We looked at it last week. Ephesians 2, 10 talked about, we established that God had a will, God had a plan, God had a purpose for our life. Now I want to get right into it because this is so exciting. I can't wait for tonight because I know it's going to help you. It's going to help so many of you. It's going to bring peace. It's going to get rid of confusion. It's going to bring clarity. I know we've all struggled with the will of God. We've all wrestled with the will of God. We've all wondered if we were in the will of God. I want to make it simple. I want to make it simple, practical, and give you seven signals you're in God's will. So the Bible says that he orders the steps of a righteous person. So you fulfill God's will one step at a time. You fulfill God's will one step at a time. So we're going to look at seven steps or seven signals. And if you've got a green light, then you keep proceeding to the next signal. And you go through all seven of these tonight, and you have a green light all the way through. My brother, my sister, my new friend, you're in God's perfect will. All right? So I'm going to go to the board over here. Number one, the voice of God's word. That's the first signal light, the voice of God's word. In other words, God's word is God's will. And what I'm asking him, does it line up with his word? If not, it's not his will. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence, the assurance, which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything according to his will, in agreement with his plan, he listens to and he hears us. And since we positively know, if we ask according to his will, well, his word, the Bible, is his perfect will. And we know positively that he listens to us in whatever we ask. We also know it's settled and absolute knowledge that he's granted our present possession, the request that we've made of him. So we looked at that last Wednesday night. We won't elaborate other than just to say, if I'm asking whatever I'm asking God, that I need to ask in line with the word, because if I'm asking outside the word, I'm outside his will. I used the illustration last Wednesday night. Years ago, there was somebody in our church, everybody say years ago, I mean really seriously, 25, 30 years ago, there was a lady in our church that wanted to marry an usher in our church, but he was married. So she came up to me, she seriously did, Pastor, you know, I feel led to marry Brother So-and-so, who was an usher here at Church on the Rock, decades ago, no longer here. And she said, I feel God wants me to marry him. Well, he was already married. That was out of God's will. It wasn't God's will. It didn't agree with God's word. You can't believe to marry somebody else who's already married. That's outside the will of God. I use that as a very simple, practical, kind of silly, but profound illustration to let us know that the first signal is what I'm asking, the direction I'm going, does it line up with the word of God? That's why we need to read the word every day, right? So we're in the will of God. All right, so if what I'm asking God, what I'm thinking about doing with my life, the career, the job, the business, the ministry, the person to marry, the house to purchase, the car to purchase, where to send my kids to school, if it's in line with God's word, I've got a green light. So now I go to the next signal, right? You could call it a checklist. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are, the word sons here in the Greek means mature ones. They're mature. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. So that simply means that we're to surrender to the Holy Spirit. We're to submit to the Holy Spirit. We're to develop our human spirit so we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So we have to get to know the Holy Spirit. So how he operates so we can work with him and not against him. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? This is all new to me. How do I know it's the voice of the Holy Spirit? If it's the voice of the Holy Spirit, it will always be followed with peace. Let me show what I'm talking about. I love this verse, Colossians 3:15, in the Amplified. Listen very carefully. Let the peace, which comes from Christ, act as an umpire continually in your heart. Now, we all know, I was listening to the Cardinals game yesterday on KMOX. We all know that in a baseball game, there's a guy who stands behind the plate, behind the catcher. He's called an umpire. He makes certain calls. Some of the calls he makes is safe or out. So let's use that metaphor. The peace of God acts as an umpire in your heart, deciding and settling with all finality, the questions you have in your mind. I love that, because I know I'm talking to a lot of people tonight. You've got questions about decisions to make and choices that you have to make. You have questions. You need answers to your questions. Notice the second signal light. If I'm asking the Holy Spirit, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I go here? Should I do that? Should I marry them? Should I purchase that? Should I start that? Should I develop that? Okay, then what you're waiting for is a peace on the inside. Some people call it, I've just got a confidence, an assurance, a quickening on the inside. Or they'll say, I've got a check in my spirit. I used the illustration last Wednesday night, 37 years ago, when Kim and I came here to plant Church on the Rock, we had three different cities that wanted us to come and start a church. Well, how are we to know which city 37 years ago to come and plant a church? How will we know? The Holy Spirit. Bible says those who are the mature ones are led not by their circumstances, but they're led by not their feelings, but they're led by the Holy Spirit. And I know the Holy Spirit's leading me when either I have a yes or a no on the inside, or I have a peace or safe, proceed, or out. I got to check in my spirit. That's how you know the voice of the Holy Spirit inside you in your human spirit. So let the peace of God be the umpire continually in your heart, helping you to decide and answer all questions that arise in your mind. And that peace state, which is as members of Christ's body, in other words, this is a privilege we have an edge, a cutting edge on the world. You were also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, and give praise to God always. So the first, how to know I'm in the will of God, the first signal, the first go light, as Zig Ziglar would say, is the Word of God. If there's confirmation with the Word, if it's an agreement with the Word, very simply, then I've got to go. So I keep walking. I keep moving in that direction. I ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you're on the inside of me. You're my comforter. You're my guide. You're my counselor. You're my advocate. You're my lawyer. You're my intercessor. You're helping me. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? And you'll know if it's okay or not by a safe or out or peace or the lack of it on the inside. So 37 years ago for Kim and I, as we were wanting the perfect will of God, not the acceptable, not the good, get by, but we wanted God's best. When we prayed over those other cities, there was a kind of a check. We didn't have a real clear peace. But when we prayed over St. Louis, we would have a peace. And that peace would grow and get stronger the more we thought about St. Louis. All right? That's how we knew one place, one life, make it great. All right? So that's the second signal, the voice of the Holy Spirit. Number three, the voice of your heart's desires. The voice of your heart's desires. This is the third go light, to quote Zig Ziglar. This is the third stoplight. This is the third signal that you want to look at as a checklist to know to find and fulfill the will of God for your life. We stated last Wednesday night that the will of God is the safest place for you and I to be. The will of God is the most productive and prolific place we could be. The will of God. We don't design it. We don't determine it. But we do discover it. God planned it way before the foundation of the world, what you and I were to do with our life. All right? So the voice of your heart and your heart's desire. I like this Proverbs 16, verse 3. I like this verse. This verse has saved me from a lot of bad decisions. Proverbs 16, 3. Roll your works or your future or your questions or your present set of circumstances. Roll your works upon the Lord, commit and trust them wholly to Him, and watch this now, don't miss it, huge revelation, and He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with His will. Oh, I like it. And so will your plans be established and succeed. I love this verse. This verse has saved me a lot of heartache. I made a lot of dumb decisions, but I could have made a lot more if it hadn't been for this verse. Roll your works, your life, your future, your feelings, your circumstances, what you're going through right now. Roll it over on the Lord. Commit and trust it to Him. Then He will cause your thoughts, what's that? Your thoughts end up being your desires, right? He'll cause your thoughts to become agreeable with His will, so your plans will be established and succeed. God wants you and I in 2021 to succeed in walking in His will. He doesn't want us to be confused or a state of chaos or be chaotic. God wants our life to be full of His peace, joy, and confidence. He wants us to be in the right place at the right time using the right method. Amen. Years ago, everybody say years ago. Years ago, I wanted to buy a bass boat. I wanted to buy a bass boat. Our boys were small. I wanted to get a bass boat. We like to go fishing. And I thought, how cool would that be? Be family outing, go up north of here. There's a lake we were going to go to. And so I began on the lookout looking for a bass fishing boat. Well, I came across one at an intersection out here in one of the suburbs. There was a guy who had his bass boat for sale right there. We're driving through, stopped at the stoplights, just sitting over here. I said, Kim, look, there's a bass boat. It's used, it's for sale. I want to check it out. So we pulled in there, and the guy had a phone number. But lo and behold, he had his own business right across the street. So I walked across the street, and I walked in there to talk to him, and he wanted a certain figure for it. And you know how we try to do, negotiate and arbitrate, try to get him down from what he originally what he wanted. And he said, no, he goes, that's it, you know, take it or leave it. It's a good this, a good that, has this, has that, and it'll make you a good boat. I said, well, let me go talk to my wife. And so I got back in the car with Pastor Kim. I said, Pastor Kim, this is God's will. Oh, this is God's, you know how we do, try to convince one another's mate. This is God's will. Oh, we got to have this bass boat. Think of the family time. Think of the recreation. Think of how we're going to grow closer as a family, out there, relief from stress in the ministry. Oh, can you imagine on that bass boat? It's God's will. Kim, it's God's will. It's just God's will. And she said, well, let's pray about it. I said, okay, but I know. I'm excited. I know it's God's will. It's perfect. So we went home. And even at that night, the guy called me and went down on the price. I said, Pastor Kim, you know, look at this. He went down the price. I know it's God's will now. I mean, I can't wait until tomorrow. We go. She goes, let's just give it a little time. Let's just pray about it. So, okay. So the next day, I didn't go back and talk to him. I didn't go look at it. I did what Pastor Kim said. I waited another day. And you know what? By the third day, I wasn't as excited about that boat as I was 3 days earlier. 3 days earlier, oh, this is God's will. I'm excited. Wah, 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 wah. And then 3 days later, when I would think about it, I wasn't excited about it. Notice, when you give God control of your life, he'll begin to make your thoughts, you'll begin to think the will of God. He'll put his desire in your heart, and then he'll bring it to pass. Oh, my goodness. And his ways are always better than our ways. So watch this now. If it's the will of God today, and I'm excited about it, and I'm thinking about it, and every time I think about it, I get more excited about it, then a week from now, I'll get more excited about it when I think about it. I'll have greater peace, greater joy a week later when I just think about it. But if it's decreasing, that's the Holy Spirit saying, out, I've got something better. If it's increasing our desire, our joy, our peace, then the Holy Spirit's saying, safe. If you want it, you can have it. Let me give you another verse that backs this up and establishes this principle of the signal that we go through of our desires of our heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. What it simply means is, if we get sold out and we put God first, then God will put his desire in our heart, and then God will see to it to bring it to pass. So the first signal light of the seven signal lights, get a green light with the word. What you're wanting, what you're asking, what you're about to do lines up with the word. The second thing, you keep on moving, driving through down the next block. The second set of lights is the voice of the Holy Spirit. If the voice of the Holy Spirit, you have peace when you think about it. You got joy when you think about it. There's no check in your spirit. There's no hesitation. Then I got a green light. The Holy Spirit is in agreement with this. I got peace. I got a clear, no check on the inside. And you go now to the next block, third set of stoplights or go lights, green light. And now you're checking your heart. You're checking your thoughts. You're checking your desires. When you think about moving there, buying that, starting that, marrying him, marrying her, does you get more excited? You get more thrilled. You get more joy that your desires are red hot and they get stronger and stronger and stronger. Then that's the will of God. If you're losing the desire, if it's waning and wavering, like mine did on the bass, on that particular bass boat, then that means that that was just, you know, an impulse. If I would have bought that boat, it would have been God's permissive will, not his perfect will. It would have been God's permissive will, not his perfect will. And I would have missed it because of impulse buying. The end of the story, like Paul Harvey, I ended up later on with a brand new Bass Ranger boat. Those of you guys who fish a lot, you know what that boat is. What a blessing it was. All right, let's go to the next. Let's go to the next, Nehemiah 7:5. I love these verses on desires. Nehemiah 7:5. Look at this. And my God put into my heart. 37 years ago, God put in my heart and Kim's heart to come here to St. Louis and plant a church. And my God put in my heart to gather together the nobles. This is Nehemiah in rebuilding the walls. The rulers and the people, that they might be reckoned by genealogy. And I found a register of the genealogy of them which came up at the first and found written therein. The point I want to bring out is God put it in his heart. God gave him the desire of his heart and then brought it to pass. Nehemiah 2 and verse 12. Nehemiah 2 verse 12. And I arose in the night and I saw a few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart. Told no man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. But what I want to bring out and extract is the thought, God put it in his heart. God gave him the desire of his heart, and then God brought it to pass. Then God brought it to pass. Psalm 20, verse 4, grant me according to thy own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Other translations say, grant me the desire of my heart, the desire of my heart. Number four, the fourth voice, the fourth signal is the voice of your circumstances, the voice of your circumstances. Now, we're not led by circumstances, but circumstances can confirm what you've already got okayed in your spirit. And look what it says, the steps of a good man or woman are directed and established by the Lord. Watch this. Here's a condition. When we delight ourselves and busy ourselves with every step. When I can rejoice where I'm at and I'm productive and efficient and busy and smart and a doer of what I know to do where I'm at, then God will tell me the next step. So when the voice of my circumstances, when I look at where I'm at today, you see, if I'm not happy where I'm at now, I won't be happy where I think I'm going. If I won't be happy in these pants, I won't be happy in a new pair of pants. It's that mindset that I've got to learn to rejoice in my circumstances where I'm at today. And then I have to busy myself. I have to be productive and do everything I can do so then God can do a miracle. God can do what only he can do. The steps of a good person are directed and established. The will of God is done in steps. The will of God is done in steps. The steps of a good man or woman are directed and established by the Lord when they delight in his way, rejoice, and you busy yourself with every step. The other day, I had someone in our church, member of our church, come in, and they were talking to me, and they were wanting counseling about relocating and moving. And I said to them, I felt led by the Holy Spirit. They said, you know, we've prayed and as a couple, and we feel that God wants us to relocate and move, but we have a house to sell, we have a car to sell, we have all these things to do, and what in the world are we going to do? And here's what I felt led to tell them. If you'll just be faithful with this step, then I think it'll be like a domino effect and all the other steps will fall into place like dominoes. I said, you watch how quick God responds to your obedience. You watch how quick God responds to your obedience. If you'll rejoice and not murmur or complain, gripe or be mad or angry at God or anybody else, just rejoice where you're at. You know, the Apostle Paul in prison, the Apostle Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In Philippians 4, verse 4, New Testament, he's in prison. And he says, rejoice in the Lord. Notice he didn't say rejoice in the cell. He said, rejoice in the Lord. There'll be circumstances in our life that are contradicting what God's word says. But we're not moved by what we see, feel, or hear. We're moved by what we believe. So we rejoice in that in spite of our circumstances. And we obey God. And for this couple, you know what? Within a week, their house sold. The next week, their car sold. And everything was supernaturally expedited. And I think it was because that they took the first step and obeyed God. Powerful, isn't it? Steps of obedience. All right? So I love this verse. It's a powerful verse. Number five, the voice of your gifts and strengths. How to know God's perfect will. If you made it through the first light signal, then you made it through the second signal, then you made it through the third signal, then you made it through the fourth signal. Wow, now you're ready for signal number five. And if you get a green light on this, keep moving forward. So now here's another on our checklist, the voice of your gifts and your strengths. Romans 11, verse 29. For God's gifts, God's call, are irrevocable. Oh, look at this. God gives you gifts to complement your call. God gives your gifts to complement your call. Today we had staff meeting. We do it once a week, a leadership meeting with our team. And I was talking to them about a high-performance team that knows where to put people. We put people where they fit with their gifting. We find out their gifting, and we put that with the responsibility that that gifting matches. When we put people in the right fit, they flow and they flourish. When we get out of our lane or get out of our call, then we're in big trouble. For God's gifts and his call, we all have a calling. With it came gifts. He never withdraws them, thank you, Lord, once they're given. He does not change his mind. Aren't you glad God doesn't? He doesn't change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or gifts or who he calls. All of us tonight have a calling. And with that calling, God gave us gifts to fulfill that calling. So one of the other ways I know God's call is look at my gifting. Look at my gifts, talents, and abilities that God gave me, and that is a confirmation of what God created me and called me and you to do. That's powerful. That's huge. I wish we had time to elaborate on that. Everyone say gifts and say call, okay? Gifts and call. So number six, the sixth signal. So if you don't know your gifts tonight, let me go back to that just for a second. Go through our growth track. We give you a test to discover your spiritual gift. That has a whole lot to do with your calling, God's will on your life. If you're not good with numbers, if you don't like math, if you don't like algebra, if you don't like details, then I can promise you God's not calling you to be an accountant. Do you see what I'm saying? Very simple but profound. Your calling will match with your gifts. Number six, once you've passed that and you say, yeah, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I get fruit. You see, if I'm where I'm supposed to be, my gifts are enabling me to get fruit. They'll know you by your fruit. There'll be a flow. It'll just be natural. You know, the other day we were talking about somebody who was doing a video here at our church, and I leaned over to somebody and I said, that person is a natural. That person has the gift of communication. They have a natural bent to that. So my gifts, I'll know my calling and my gifts, there'll be fruit, there'll be a flow. My friends will remark and talk about that gift and the results you get with it. So that's enough on that. But number six, now you're ready for the sixth signal. You're ready for the sixth go light or stop light, green light. The voice of seasoned leaders. The voice of seasoned leaders. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three counselors, there's safety. You got to be careful. I heard John Maxwell say this years ago. We need advice about advice. What does that mean? We need to be careful who we're going to for counsel. We need to be careful who we're going to for advice. But we do need counsel and we do need advice, but we need it from leaders who love us, who believe in us, elders, people who are more mature than we are, people who are doing what we want to do. We need to go to those people that we know, they love us, they believe in us, they're for us, they want to help us, they believe in our calling, and they'll tell us the truth. We want to go and we want to get their advice. Doesn't mean we have to act on it, but we want to get it because the Bible says that, you know, two's better than one in Ecclesiastics. It says in Proverbs that in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. When we came here to Church on the Rock to plant it 37 years ago, I went to two or three other seasoned leaders, ministers that I highly respected, and I knew they respected me, asking for their advice. I went to other church planters to find out, what did you have to go through? What was your biggest problems? What was the greatest challenges? I talked to people who did what I wanted to do. That's huge. We can learn by our mistakes, or we can learn by other people's mistakes. I want to learn by other people's mistakes. So you've gone and you've talked to some seasoned leaders. I mean, people who have the track record. It amazes me sometimes as a pastor to see some people who they're going to for advice, because the people they're going to for advice have no track record. You want to advice about advice. Don't just go to anybody. You want to go to seasoned, successful people who have a track record, a legacy, who've done what you're attempting to do. That's huge. And then last but not least, in our seven signals, is the voice of faith. The voice of faith. It's going to take faith for you and I to do God's will. It's going to take, once these first six green lights you've gone through, you got the green light. Wow. Now you're at the seventh light. Now that you feel like you have the peace of God and you have got the counsel of God and that you're in line with the word of God and that your circumstances, you're doing everything that you know to do and you've gone through all six signals and you got to go green light. Number seven is going to take faith. It's going to take the voice of faith to step out of your comfort zone and go where you've never been before and do what you've never done before. For us, 37 years ago, oh my goodness, we were pastors and a denomination, Kim and I. We had insurance. We had retirement going. We were safe. We were secure. We were stable. And we had to, like Abraham in the Bible, going not knowing. We had no idea, you know, when we came here, how many people would be here for the service. We didn't know what the income would be. It was on offering only. There was no institution. There was no rich business person supporting us. We had no idea what the first week, what even would be our salary from week to week for the first, second, third, fourth month. We had no idea. There was no insurance. We didn't have the money. Our church on the Rock, we had 35 people. So what did that take? It took faith. Faith in God, faith in His will, faith in His promises. But without faith, it's impossible to fulfill His will. But without faith, it's impossible to do, to find, to fulfill, to accomplish the will of God. It will take faith. It will take faith. There's no way. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. How do you know you're in faith? It's going to take faith every day to get up and do the will of God. If it doesn't take faith, then you're not in the will of God. Oh, Pastor, can you say that again? Yeah. If it doesn't take faith, you're not in the will of God. If you and I don't need God to do what we're doing, then we're not doing what God's called us to do. To do what God called you to do, you're going to need God to do it. You're going to need faith. How do you know, Pastor, that you're in faith and you're stepping out in faith of what you feel God's calling you to do, that job, that career, that business, that marriage, that corporation, that deal, that decision? How do you know, Pastor, that you're in faith? Because you'll be full of joy and you'll be full of peace and you'll be full of hope. Now, may the God of hope fill you with joy, peace, in what? Believing. You know you're believing when you're full of peace, joy, and hope. We came here 37 years ago. Stephen, our youngest son, was in Kim's womb. She was pregnant with Stephen. Daniel was a little guy, and here we were. Our parents thought we were kooky, and I understand why. They thought we were crazy. What are you doing? Taking our grandkids and leaving and going to plant a church where there's no church, there's no income, there's no buildings, there's no equipment, there's no nothing, diddly squat. You're going to meet in a library and a hotel. How could you do that? Well, we just knew that we 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 knew. In the natural, it looked impossible. It looked illogical. It looked crazy. It didn't make sense. Why would you leave a great church you're pastoring, a great salary, great benefits, a great reputation, a great pathway to greater and better? How could you do that? Because we had to be in God's perfect will, not his permissive will. And all through those stoplights, that's what Kim and I went through, what I'm sharing with you tonight. And then when we stepped out in November of 1983, right before the holidays, having no money, having no support, you know what? We had God. And we were so excited. Young couple. I was 30 years old. Kim was 28 when we started this church. Young couple. But what we had? We had peace. We had joy. And we had hope. And we were stepping out in faith. And so I just want to encourage you tonight as we close. I want to encourage you tonight, once again, God has a plan for your life. God has a will for your life. God has an assignment for your life. And that's the safest place, most prolific, productive, successful place you and I can be in. And I've given you 7 signals tonight. Go back, study them, cross-reference the scriptures, work it out, study it out. And I promise you, that's how I try to find and fulfill God's will for my life every day, is through these 7 signals. These 7 steps. Let me pray for you tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Watch leader, small group leader, a mom, dad, single parent, leading your family, right there where you're at, single person, right there where you're at. Let's bow our heads right now. And if you're watching tonight and you say, Pastor, on this Wednesday night, man, life's tough. COVID's been hard. I hate the isolation. I hate the depression, the discouragement, the oppression. I hate the way it is. My life is going nowhere. I'm so confused. I need God. Pastor, I need God. Pray for me. Or you're a believer, but you've kind of wandered away and you've been wobbling and wandering and struggling with the will of God. And what is it God wants you to do? And you know, there are people right now I know that haven't made it through COVID. They're shipwrecked. And there are other people that I know, seriously, who become millionaires during COVID. Interesting, isn't it? It's how we respond. It's not what happens to us. It's how we respond to it. You see, Pastor, I want to get right with God. I want to reestablish my relationship, my priorities. Pray for me. We're going to do it right now. If that's you and everybody else, can we help them? Can you pray it with me out loud? Here we go. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me. He rose again. Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for watching this week's message. Here at Church on the Rock, our purpose is to help you know God better. And one of those ways is through Growth Track. We have a 4-step process online that you can take anytime, or maybe consider joining us in person. But to take your next step and to find out all the incredible things we have to offer here at Church on the Rock, I encourage you to go over to cotr.org/online, or you can email us at online@cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.